Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus. We are here again, and another opportunity to praise the name of the Lord in the house of God. Can I get somebody to say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
That's right. You know, the Lord is good, and His mercy endureth forever. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, because you have committed unto us the keys of the kingdom of God. And you've given us authority that whatsoever we shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And also whatsoever we shall lose on the earth shall be loosed in heaven. Give understanding, Lord, concerning the word of the Lord to every heart today. And let the entrance of your word as always bring light. And let the Lord be glorified in the message of the Lord today. We give you all praise and glory. And everybody says amen.
Amen.
Put your hands together for Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. I like excitement. You know, I like people. I know, you know, God's got different kinds of people. There are some mellow people. There are some excitable people, you know, and so forth like that. Well, you know, mellow is okay. Excitable is okay too. But the Bible says, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Make a loud noise. And rejoice and sing praise. So I like the shout and the glory and so forth like that. So that's wonderful. I'm going to start today in Matthew chapter 11. And I want to just, speak to us for a few minutes on fervent, effectual prayer.
Amen.
By spiritual violence. And that's how you do it. You know, I'm going to show you, you know, we've been talking about faith and so forth like that and how to get your prayers answered. You know, so, you know, God's going to help you get a little more understanding today. Matthew 11 and verse 12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, that was Jesus speaking, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Amen? Hello? Is everybody awake in here this morning? Well, let's try that again. You know, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Amen? That's right. You know, maybe you don't understand that just yet, but you will, you know, when we get through here this morning. You know, so, you know, we're going to talk about the kind of prayer that gets results. The kind of prayer that gets, you know, into the kingdom of heaven and gets things done. You know, not just, you know, now, you know, this is not a recitation of just a few words in prayer. You know, some people when they say, let's pray, they just say, well, you know, God bless me and so forth like that. You know, I'm not talking about that this morning. You know, I'm talking about how you can pray specific prayers that get results. I'm going to show you examples in the Bible. You know, we've preached on a message like this before. You can find something similar on the website, called Prevailing Prayer. You know, and I'm going to touch on something, you know, along the same lines, but slightly different this morning. I'm going to bring a different perspective, you know, on prayer, you know, how to get your prayers answered. And the Lord showed me this. I was, you know, thinking about, you know, this morning service through the weekend and so forth, you know, and the Lord made me see that a lot of people don't get their prayers answered because they're too vague. Your prayers are too vague sometimes, you know, and that's why God can't do anything for you, really. But you say, well, Lord, I want you to bless me. Well, He has already blessed you. The Bible says God has already blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And He has made us to sit in heavenly places with Christ. You know, He's already blessed you. You know, He says, surely blessing I will bless you. You know, He's already pronounced blessings and all this. So you got to be specific in your prayer. So let's look at some of the things that He wants us to do. James chapter 5. And I'm going to read just a couple of verses here in James chapter 5. You know, where He's talking about the prayer of faith. That's in verse 15. The prayer of faith, but I want to read the last sentence in verse 16 of James 5. It says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So I want to look at the elements in this sentence. The fervent. Now, that's prayer that carries some spiritual force behind it. It's not some wishy-washy, you know, if God, you know, wants, He can do it kind of prayer. And if He doesn't want, you know, can do it kind of, you know, maybe I'll get it, maybe I don't. You know, it's not that kind of prayer. You know, fervency. And also, fervency also means, you know, relentlessness.
Amen.
You know, No matter what is happening, you know, they stay right with it. No, so the fervent prayer of a righteous man, you know, so we see the fervency, and we see the righteousness that goes along with that, and then we see the, you know, effectual. It's effectual. You know, it gets results. Praise God. I'm going to show you somebody, a couple of people in the Bible that their prayer, you know, got results, and they didn't know how to move God. You know, and I want you to concentrate today on getting specific prayers answered. Not just floating prayers, not just, you know, it's blanket things that, you know, that you can't even account for when God actually does it. We want to be specific. Praise God. And even if you are praying for healing, let me just give you an example before I get into the message. Even if you are praying for healing, be specific. Amen? Just be specific, because Christ has already healed us, you know, but, you know, so if you, you know, if you have some problem, you know, be specific to that problem. Praise God. You know, and they, you know, even, you know, that's the way they've done it throughout the Bible. Even in raising of the dead, you know, you hear Elijah, you know, somebody say, let this man's soul return unto him. Specific prayer, you know, and so on like that. And then God, you know, God knows how to walk with that. So, you know, we also want to say right away, you know, I want to say this right away. In Luke chapter 18, I'm going to read a couple of things, some things that Jesus himself said about prayer. Because some people think that, well, you know, you just got to pray, you know, one time. Because people get confused. Because we preach about faith all the time. So people get confused. Well, should I just pray once and then go about my business and that's it? Well, if you have that kind of faith, yeah, sure. You know, there's some prayers that, you know, we can pray one time and it's on and it's over. And you just wait for the results. There's some kind of other kinds of prayers that you have to wrestle. Amen? And I'm going to show you that there are some spiritual forces, rulers of the darkness of this world, wickedness, spiritual wickedness in high places that are preventing your prayers from being answered. You know, and sometimes you've got to wrestle. You know, I'm going to show you that in the scriptures. I mean, I'm going to show you that's one of the reasons why we fast and pray. Because that's what Jesus said. You know, they brought, somebody to, you know, disciples to be healed, and they could do it. You know, and they, you know, they wondered, you know, why they couldn't do it and so forth like that. You know, well, you know, Jesus said, well, first of all, you couldn't do it because of your unbelief. You know, but then he went on and said, well, yes, it's because of your unbelief, but that's in Matthew 17. And he told them, you know, verses 20 and 21. So you couldn't do it because of your unbelief. He said, but well, you know, there is some kind that doesn't go out except by prayer and fasting. You know, so there's a reason for these things, you know. That's why we fast and pray, you know. So, you know, I want to say to you right away in Luke chapter 18, you know, and I'm going to show you some things that Jesus said about prayer. In Luke chapter 18, Jesus gave this illustration here to the intent that men ought always to pray, you know, and not to faint, he says in verse 1. He spake a parable to this end, that men ought always to pray. In fact, the Bible says in some places, pray without ceasing. You know, don't stop, just pray. You know, of course, prayer is not just asking and asking things from God. Prayer is worship. Prayer is praising the Lord. And if you know how to walk that praise into your prayer, you'll get more results. Amen? Amen. Praise God. And I'm going to show you some of that in the scriptures today. Now, in this story here in Luke 18, Jesus began to tell them there was a woman that was in a city, a judge that feared not God, neither regarded man. He couldn't care less about anybody. You know, and there was in that same city a widow that had, you know, she'd lost her husband and so forth, and she was helpless. She didn't know what to do. And you know, and she had a problem, an issue, and she wanted some justice done. So she come to this judge all the time and said, "Judge, avenge me of my adversary." You know, and the man couldn't care any, didn't care anything about her. He, you know, had no empathy for her situation, couldn't care less. You know, and so, and he was an ungodly person anyway, and he didn't care to give her justice. You know, so, but the woman wouldn't stop. You know, and every day, you know, she'd come, he would just ignore her and so forth, and say, send her away and so forth, and then she'd come back some more. You know, and every day she did that and so forth. So finally, this judge said, okay, well, although I fear not God, in verse 4, and I have no regard for man, now this is Jesus telling us this story himself, you know. He said, yeah, because this woman troubleth me, I will avenge her, and I will do what she wants. Unless she, if I don't, she might weary me out by her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what this, you know, hear what this unjust judge said. You know, this man, you know, hear what he said. And he said, shall not even God avenge his elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he be along with them? Now, I want to bring out the crying day and night, because that's what Jesus said. You know, he didn't say, you know, shall God not avenge his elect, which pray for a few minutes and then run off, you know, from the presence of God. No. He said, shall he not avenge his elect that cry unto him day and night? Amen, people?
Amen.
And we've seen people in the Bible that went and prayed. They prayed their hearts out. Hannah, she prayed her heart out when she was, you know, she couldn't have a baby and so forth. And she kept praying night and day in the temple. And the next thing you know, there comes someone. Amen, somebody. And one of the greatest prophets over there, you know, and he come. You know, so you stay with the prayer. Don't be discouraged just because, you know, God didn't answer the prayer, you know, the first time you prayed. Because Jesus said, even though he bear long with them, he will answer you speedily. You know, so he will. You know, and sometimes God likes to put your faith on trial. You know, and, you know, check you out, see what material you're made of. You know, see if you're going to run off from his presence just because you didn't answer your prayer the first time you prayed. You know, but Jesus gave us an example. He says, stay with the prayer. Stay right there with it and keep doing it. And God's going to give you the desires of your hearts. Can you say amen to that?
Yes.
Now listen to this story in Luke chapter 11. Starting at verse 5. Here's Jesus talking again. He said, which of you shall have a friend which shall come unto him at midnight and knock on his door and say, friend, you know, maybe you go to your neighbor's house, who's your friend, maybe? And I say, look, I got some visitors from out of town and I don't have anything in the house and grocery stores are closed. Can I please have a few? And you stand at the door and he said, who's there? And he said, there's such and such. So, well, you know, and this man says, well, I can't get up. My children are in bed and so forth, you know. I got my pajamas on. It's late. Why you just come in this late? Say, go away, you know. So, and the man said, look, I got people from out of town. There's nowhere for me to get some food. I need some help right now. And keeps knocking. That's the story that Jesus said. And listen to what Jesus said. You know, and he said, this man said, look, trouble me not. You know, the hour, you know, the door is shut. My children are in bed and so forth. I cannot rise and give you anything. And this, you know, and Jesus said, look, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give it to him because he is his friend, you know, even though he won't do it because he's his friend, but he's going to do it for a different reason. Hello? Praise God. You know, Jesus is teaching us something here. You know, if he won't rise and give it to him just because he's his friend, yet because of his importunity, his relentlessness at knocking that door, ringing that bell, and keeping them awake anyway, so you might as well give him and send him away. Amen? If you don't give him what he wants, you're not going to get that sleep that you said you wanted to get anyway. So you might as well get up, give him the bread, and then he'll leave you alone. You know? And this is Jesus telling us this kind of story. What do you think it means? He's telling us that you keep bothering the Lord. Amen. Don't just take no for an answer just because you pray one time and God didn't do anything. Don't just stop there. Amen. Hello? Praise God. This is Jesus. He's right here in the Bible. Jesus said it himself. You know? And he said, look, I tell you, ask. He said all of that to say this. Ask and it shall be given to you.
Amen.
And if you ask and you don't get it, well, don't stop there. Seek and you shall find. And if you are seeking and you are not finding, keep knocking. And it shall be opened unto you. Hallelujah, somebody. You know, don't stop. You know, just because, you know, you have a few roadblocks and so forth. And I said this to the people in the Faith Lab on Friday. I said, look, you know, when you come up against a roadblock, you know, or, you know, some kind of an obstacle, it's not the end of the road. It's only a detour. Praise God. You got to get away from there and find another road that works or is open. Amen. If I'm going somewhere and I get down the road and I see road closed, I'm not going to just sit there and say, well, road closed, that's it. You know? No. I say, well, this road is closed, there's got to be another road. Amen? Praise God. Same thing in prayer. You know, don't sit there and take no for an answer. And Jesus, he gives us many, many illustrations here. Now, let's look at some examples of some people that know how to get some things from God, that know how to get a hold of God and wouldn't turn loose. That's what we're talking about. Spiritual force in prayer. taking the kingdom of heaven, taking these things by force. And heaven and earth, they work together. You know, if you don't know or don't think that heaven and earth, you know, work together, well, let me read this to you. In Matthew chapter 16, I'm going to read verse 19. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. You know, I want to show you that heaven and earth work together. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall also be loosed in heaven. You say, the heaven and earth work there? Absolutely. You know, so, you know, you got to know how to walk some things. I'm going to show you a few more things in a few minutes, you know, but I want to throw that there just so you know that heaven and earth actually do work together. Let's look at the example of Jacob in Genesis chapter 32. This is Jacob in Genesis chapter 32. Of course, you know, there's a lot of history to this story, but I don't have time, you know, to read all about it. You know, Jacob, the supplanter, he got the birthright from his brother, you know, whatever. And so, you know, there's some distress between him and his brother and all of that, you know. And so, you know, he ran away and he's trying to make peace and so forth, you know. And but anyway, in this encounter, this is Jacob in Genesis 32. In this encounter, he's going to meet, you know, the angel of the Lord. And so let's read from Genesis 32 and verse 24. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of day. You know, so just Jacob, he met this man and he wrestled. And when the man saw that he prevailed not against Jacob, he touched him in the hollow of his thigh, and as they wrestled with him and so forth. And he said, let me go, because the day is breaking. And Jacob said, no. Jacob wrestled all night long. He wouldn't let him go. And he said, I won't leave you. I'm not going to let you go unless you bless me. You know, and he wrestled with him all night. So finally, he asked him, he said, look, what's your name? You know, this figure asked Jacob, what's your name? He said, my name is Jacob. He said, well, you know, I'm gonna change your name right here. Your name shall no longer be Jacob, but it shall be Israel. Because you are a prince with God. Because you know how to get things from God. You know, who do you think was wrestling with him there? You know, and he wrestled, and he wouldn't let this person go. And, you know, and we know, you know, somebody who likes to change people's names. He changed his name from Abraham to Abraham. He knows how to do it. You know, he comes in different figures, you know. And Jacob was wrestling here. The Bible says, you know, as a prince, you have power with God. You know, so he was wrestling here with the figure of God that met him. And so Jacob finally said in verse 30, wow, you know, I've seen God face to face. And yet my life is preserved. Now, Jacob, he had an encounter with a visitation from God. And he wouldn't turn God loose until he got a blessing. Now, there's many of you in here, you know, when the Spirit of God begins to move on you a little bit, you know, which generally happens when you are in worship, you know, you get distracted, you run off before you get a chance to secure a blessing for yourself. I want to tell you that when you are on a roll with God, don't stop. Amen. If God visits you and you begin to feel the moving of that Spirit when you are worshiping Him and praising Him, don't stop. Get a hold of God even more. You know, and stay in His presence. Don't run off after 2 minutes. Don't think about anything at that time. The problem with people is, as soon as you start praying, the devil brings something into your mind. You're going to remember some homework that you need to do. You're going to remember some chore that you need to do. You're going to remember what your wife said to you yesterday that bothered you. What your husband said to you that bothered you. And you're going to take your mind off the presence of the Lord. And you will get nothing, said the Lord. That's right. But you need to stay in His presence. Get a hold of the Lord. Turn everything else loose, but don't turn God loose. Stay with the Lord until you get a blessing. Can I get an amen from that? That's right. If you know how to do it like Jacob did, and finally he got that blessing too. You know, he got it. And most of the time, you know, God may already have promised you something. Now listen to this. I'm going to speak this to you by revelation, because God spoke it to me yesterday, or early this morning, or late at night, I forget when. You know, just because, listen to this. Just because God promised you something, and just because you asked Him for it, well, it doesn't mean you're going to get it. Because the devil is going to put up a fight. Hello? The devil is going, if he devil has something to say about it, he's going to make sure you don't get what you're believing God for. Because he's going to put up a fight. You think the enemy is just going to sit back and let you just take the promises of God, you know, willy-nilly like that? He's going to put up a fight. It's called the gates of hell. They will contend every promise of God in your life. But we have his promise that they will not win. They will not prevail. Because Jesus already said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against you. But they will contend. Oh yeah. And there is a battle going on. They won't prevail, but they will be contending. Okay. Now listen to this story. In Daniel chapter 10. I'm going to just read a few verses. You have to read the whole story on your own. But I'm going to read enough verses here to give you an understanding of this thing. Now, Daniel chapter 10, let me read verse 2. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. Now, that's 21 days that Daniel was in prayer. And I ate no pleasant food, neither came flesh or wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all, but these whole 3 weeks, you know, were fulfilled throughout that time. You know, he was just in prayer and seeking the face of the Lord and so forth. You know, well, unknown to him, something else was going on too. He was praying about some things. He wanted the children of Israel to go home from captivity, and he wanted to understand, you know, some of the revelations that God had shown him, things that will happen at the end. You know, so he was praying. Well, let me go to jump over here to verse 10. And behold, there was an hand that touched me, and he set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright. For now I have been sent unto thee. And he told him, he said, look. And when he had spoken these words, he said, I stood trembling. Then he said unto me, this was the angel that was sent to Daniel. He said, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day. Now remember, he said 3 weeks, that's 21 days. But this angel told him, he said, from the first day that you did set your heart to understand and to chasten thyself before God through the morning. You know, the psalmist said, I humbled my soul with fasting. Through the fasting, through the morning, and so forth. Thy words were heard from the first day. And I am come forth for thy words. You know, from the first day that you began to pray, he told Daniel, God heard and sent me out to bring you an answer. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me these 21 days. The whole time that Daniel has been praying, his answer had been dispatched from heaven. But if you think the devil is not going to have something to say about it, then you've got another thing coming. Amen, somebody? Sure. The devil's going to put up a fight every single time. And they put up a fight, you know, the prince of the air, this is the powers of the air, over the kingdom of Persia, and so forth. Like, they wouldn't let this angel get through. And he was there for 21 days. My goodness, you know. You know, finally, listen to this. Oh, yeah. Finally, Michael, the chief prince, one of the chief princes. Well, you know who he is. You know, the archangel. It's another form in which God, you know, represents himself, you know, and so forth like that, among the angels. You know, so he comes there and he said, wow, he came to help me. And he was able to pass through there. You say, wow, he was able to pass through, absolutely. You know, because he got help. Now, what I'm trying to bring out in this story is that, well, Daniel could have given up on the first day because his prayer wasn't answered, seemingly, but he didn't know that his prayer was already answered. Well, how do you know when you are praying for something and 2 days and 3 days and 4 days have gone by and you haven't received it? How do you know that the princes of the air, the wickedness and the spiritual wickedness in dark places, how do you know they are not preventing your answer from coming forth? So you got to step up to the plate. You got to crank it up, son. Amen. Amen, people. You know, now some of you think that, you know, all you got to do is in the morning just say, Lord, you know, thank you for this day that you've made and bless me as I go in Jesus' name. Well, that's good. But it's not good enough. Because you can pray that kind of prayer and you may still have a bad day. Amen? Well, it's quiet in here. A lot of people pray that kind of prayer in the morning, and they still get into an accident during the day. They still have a problem. They still get to run into all kinds of things. Because that's not going to get the job done. There are forces of darkness that have pitched themselves against you. That want to make sure that good things don't come your way. And you need fervency in prayer. You need a kind of prayer that gets results. You need to get up in the night. You need to get up early in the morning and command the wings of the morning. You don't think those powers of darkness know how to do some things late in the night? Sure they do. Why do you think Jesus used to get up early in the morning? Because he knew some secrets. You got to get up early in the morning and command some things. Praise the name of Jesus. That's right. I'm going to show you that in the scripture in a while, you know, in a little bit. But I'm getting ahead of myself here. So, Daniel, by the things that happened to Daniel here, God was teaching us something. And he was showing us that this is, you know, sometimes even when God sends an answer, you know, sometimes there may be delay for whatever reason. Well, but I tell you something that we have now that Daniel didn't have. Hello?
Yes.
We got the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, somebody.
Yes.
You know, we've got that special anointing that came because of the resurrection and the triumph of Jesus over death and the grave.
Yes.
That's right. You know, so we don't need no devils, you know, hindering our prayer from the Lord. Amen, somebody.
Yes.
We need to put those devils in their places. But you're not going to do it sometimes with just too many prayers. The disciples couldn't get it done. How much do you think you would get it done? You know, they were used to just feasting and marrying and so forth around Jesus all the time because the bridegroom was with them. And Jesus said, look, as long as the bridegroom is with you, you know, why should you worry and so forth when they queried Jesus about that, you know. But when the test came, they couldn't deal with the devil. Hello? Jesus used to tell them, pray. Lest you enter into temptation, rise up and pray and do these things. And they wouldn't do it. You know, of course, you know, then, you know, they found out later on that they needed to do that. Now, let's, I'm going to just jump ahead here to Job 38. And I'm going to say, you know, now, you may know the story of Job, how God boasted about him and so forth to the devil. He said, look, my servant Job, you know, he's one that escheweth evil and fears the Lord and does righteousness and so forth. There's none like him. And the devil said, well, really? Do you think he praises you for no reason? Because you've blessed him, you've given him peace and tranquility and so forth, and there's all your blessings are around him, you know. Let me put forth my hand now against him, and he'll curse you to your face. The devil told the Lord. And the Lord said, well, all right. But you can only go so far. Amen, somebody? That's right. The devil can't do anything against you that the Lord never allowed. He told you can only go so far. You know, so, you know, sometimes, you know, some of the challenges that you are facing could be because there is a contest, you know, going on in the spiritual world. You know, the devil, you know, he comes to accuse the, you know, this servant of the Lord, but the Lord was bragging about him and so forth. You know, that's going to cost Job some things, you know. So, he went through a lot of things, lost a lot of things and so forth like that. You know, and finally one time he started to, you know, wonder and complain and grumble and so forth. So, God's going to tell him some things here in Job chapter 38. The Lord is going to speak to him out of the whirlwind in verse 1. And say, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Guide up now thy lungs. See, like a man, and I would demand of thee and answer me. And he began to ask him, where was thou when I laid the foundation of the earth? Began to ask him some questions and so forth. You know, now listen to this. Verse 12. Hast thou commanded the morning since thy days and caused the day spring to know his place? Can you do it? You know, well, there's some things that God asked Job in this chapter, you know, and if you read between the lines, it will show you that, wow. You know, if you have that kind of power that can penetrate, you can actually do these things. Hello? You can command the morning. You can command the day spring. Hallelujah. You can command the lines to fall into you in pleasant places. But you got to get up early in the morning and do it. Praise God. That is called the wings of the morning. You know, there's something to that. I can't go too much into that. You know, you got to get up and do these things. You got to pray traveling prayer. You know, it says, look, can you do these things? Can you cause the day spring to spring forth and so on, that it might take hold of the ends of the earth and that the wicked might be shaken out of it? You know, you may not know that there is a way that you can command things that will shake the wicked out of places. It's right here in this verse. You know, but, you know, it's things, you know, I told you, heaven and earth work together. It's things that you understand, and you can command those things, but it's not going to be by the kind of, you know, run away from his presence prayer. 2 minutes and run off. That's not going to get the job done. We're going to have to get in and grind in. You're going to have to grind in prayer sometimes. I'm going to show you a few more examples. So God told Job some things here, and it helps us to understand some things, you know, and then he began to tell him, verse 31. Canst thou bind the sweet influences of the Pleiades? These are constellations out there. Can you even do things? Can you make things happen? Can you command the sun and the moon? Sure. Can you say to the sun, stand out still in the valley of Ajalon? Hallelujah. We know at least one person that said that in the Bible. Joshua was his name. He commanded the sun to stand still. He commanded the moon to stand still. Amen? Amen, people? Sure, we can do these things, you know, if you know how. But it's going to be by, you know, traveling prayer, spiritual force in prayer that gets the job done. That it's called spiritual violence. Jesus said, the violent take it by force. Amen. Praise God. That's how you get it done. Well, you know, let me quickly give you two more examples here, and I'm going to have to cut this short. David. I love to preach about David. You know that. So David, you know, he's one man that knows how to move God in prayer. I'm going to give you an example here in 2 Samuel chapter 22. And I love that whole chapter. You can read all of it. It's a wonderful chapter, you know. But, you know, let me just read a few verses out of 2 Samuel chapter 22 and see how David gets God to do things for him, you know. Well, David, of course, he starts out by saying, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. The God of my rock. In him will I trust. He's my shield, the horn of my salvation, my high tower, my refuge, and my savior. David even knew, and he spoke about salvation more than anybody else in that Bible. Even before the law came, he called my God my savior all the time. You know, now I tell you something. When you begin to approach God and say, you Lord, you are my deliverer. You are my rock. You are my shield. You are my savior. Then God will stand up and say, yes. I am your deliverer. Thank you, Jesus. You know, Jesus told the disciples, said, you call me Lord and Master, and you say well, because so I am. That's right. When you tell him, you are my healer. You know, that's how you start your prayer. You go to God and you tell him these wonderful things about him. Amen? Praise God. You know, and God will stick out his chest. And say, yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. And he'll stand up for you. Hallelujah. You know, and listen to how he will do it. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. By calling upon the Lord. Don't worry about your enemies. You just get a hold of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. When the waves of death compass me, the floods of ungodly men and so forth, when the sorrows of hell even compass me about, in my distress, I got a hold of the Lord. And I cried unto my God. This is not a two-minute prayer. I cried unto my God, and he heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry entered his heart. Now listen to this. You know, I'm not going to ask you this, and I've asked people in this church before. Can your prayer do this? This next verse. Can your prayer do this? Because David's prayer did it. Can your prayer make the earth to shake? You say, after I prayed and after I cried unto the Lord, then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations of heaven were moved. Hallelujah, somebody. And they shook because God was angry and rose up on my behalf. Can your prayer make God to stand up? Can your prayer make God to blast fire out of his nostrils on your behalf? Can you do it? You think you will do it with a two-minute prayer? You're not going to do it, brother. Let me tell you now. This was a prayer that got a hold of God.
This was a prayer that started with exalting the Most High. He lifted up God. He put God higher than the highest.
Hallelujah. And he said then, a smoke went out of his nostrils. Fire came out of his mouth and coals were devoured by it. He bowed the heavens and he came down. Can God come down when you pray? Can you make God come down when you pray?
Now this is the prayer of violence. This is getting the kingdom of God by force. This is a prayer that will not take no for an answer.
You can't do this on a full stomach too sometimes. Amen.
You're going to have to miss a few meals.
Praise God. And he said, he bowed the heavens, he came down, he rode upon a cherub. Oh my. And he did fly. Oh, and he was seen upon the wings of the wind. My goodness. You know, I mean, look at God moving because of the prayer of David. Look at all the things that God began to do just because of David's prayer. Can you make God do these things through your prayer or your praise? You know, he made darkness, pavilions around him, thick clouds and so forth. Brightness, you know, through the brightness before the coals. And it went on and on, on. You can read the rest of it. I don't have time to read all of it. Read it all the way through verse 22 and see all the things that God did for him because he got a hold of God. Amen, somebody? That's right. It's powerful. This is really powerful stuff. Praise God. You know, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, you know, he was teaching them how to pray. You know, they said, well, you know, and he said, look, when you pray, let me just read this verse to you here. Because we're talking about a prayer that gets things done, effectual prayer and so forth. You know, I want to make sure that you understand that we're not talking about just being repetition. Jesus said it himself, you know, he said here in Matthew chapter 6, you know, let me read verses 6 and 7. He said, look, get into your closet when you pray. Shut your door and cry unto God. We're not talking of you coming to the church and make a show that you can pray long prayers. Hello? We're talking of prayer that you pray in your closet and your Father that seeth in secret will reward you openly. That's right. And Jesus said in verse 7 of Matthew 6, look, when you pray, do not use vain repetition. You know, now Jesus didn't say don't repeat it, because he already said in one place, keep praying until he hears you, though he bears long. But he's talking about vain repetition that gets nothing done. You just recite a few words, you know, and you say them over and over again, thinking that you'll be heard for your much speaking. That's not going to work, Jesus said. Amen? Amen, people? That's not going to work, you know. So he gave them the template of how to pray. Starts out with praise and then gave them, start to tell them a few things and so forth like that. So we're not talking, when we're talking about staying in prayer, we go. We're not talking about just vain repetition. God is not deaf. Amen? He's not deaf. He heard you. But sometimes you have to fight some spiritual forces and get them out of the way, because the devil will try to block your blessing from coming to you. You know, but listen to this. Let me read this story of, let me give you this example of Jesus, and then we'll begin to close. Because I got to pray a prayer here for some people here this morning. In Luke chapter 22. In Luke chapter 22. Now, of course, before I, you know, let me save the story of Jesus to the last. Before I read that, let me quickly read the story of Elijah. I won't probably read all of it, but I'll give you the reference. In Elijah, in 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 41 through 46. Of course, Elijah, he had come up against the prophets of Baal and so forth. And he had spoken that there would be no rain for a period of time except by my word, he said. So finally, he come back and so forth. And, you know, the Lord had shown him that it was time for rain to come back. You know, so he went up and prayed. And he told his servant to go look and see if the rain was coming. Now, and I said this to you before, that just because God said that, you know, he's going to do something doesn't mean you just fold your arms, because the enemy is going to fight. Now, God already showed Elijah that the rain was coming, but he still had to pray. And he still had to pray through. And I'll tell you something too. Elijah, his song, turn to 1 Kings chapter 18. He sunk his face between his knees. And he began to cry out to God. He began to get a hold of God. And he said, now Lord, do that which you have shown me. Do that which you've shown me. Do that which you have promised. And he began to pray. And he said, you go see it. See, because I hear of a sound of abundance of rain. Well, there wasn't, nothing was coming, but Elijah already heard it in the spirit. And so he began to tell his servant, said, go to check. And he went out and he checked, said, well, I see nothing. Said, go again. And he prayed some more. He said, go again. And finally he comes back. Servant comes back. I said, well, I see a cloud like a man's fist. He said, well, yeah, you know, it's the beginning. It's coming. You know, but I tell you what, there's more coming. And so he sank his face in there and prayed some more. And this same Elijah was given as an example in James chapter 5. He said Elijah was a man just like us. And he prayed fervently. This same text that we read of fervent eventual prayer was taken from this example of Elijah, how he prayed fervently for rain. Even after God already showed him it was coming. He still had to get in prayer. Hallelujah. And he still had to dig himself in there, you know, and stay in until he saw the results. He didn't run off. He stayed right there with it until he saw results. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Now let's look at the example of Jesus real quick. Luke chapter 22. Now this is Jesus, the captain of our salvation, showing us how to get things done. And he's going to do it here, and he's going to show you, you know, right here in, I'm going to read from Luke chapter 22. Let me start at verse 40. So Jesus, he told his disciples when he went to pray with them, just before he went to the cross and so on. He said, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And verse 41, and he was withdrawn from them, you know, he left and just left them alone, and he went a little space further and knelt down and prayed. Now this is Jesus. And he said, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. You know, so he began to pray. Well, you know, even though the this writer of this gospel recorded, you know, this prayer as short as one sentence here, I guarantee you that's not the way he prayed. All you have to do is look at the next two verses. As he began to pray, there was an angel sent from heaven that came and strengthened him. And he being in agony. Now this is some travailing prayer, if you've ever seen any. He being in agony, he prayed even the more earnestly, fervently. He prayed. You know, and he kept praying until he was sweating blood. Hello? Says right here. And his sweat were as great drops of blood falling to the ground. Now, can you pray that kind of prayer? Can you pray until your sweat is blood? Oh yeah. Jesus, he was going for the gold. He was going for the pearl of great price. How many of you can say amen to that? That's you. And that's me. And that's every believer sitting anywhere in the world today. Can you give the Lord a hand clap for that? That's right. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap. That's not a kind of hand clap that the Lord deserves. That's right. He went for the pearl of great price. And you think the devil is going to give that up without a fight? My Jesus was in a fight, you know. And he fought that battle, boy. But he came out on top. Now, I want you to know something. Jesus already knew the end. He already knew he was going to win. But that didn't put him at ease and just fold his arms and say, well, you know, I know the Father commanded me to go and lay my life down and to take it up again. This commandment I've received of my Father. I don't need to pray. I don't need to do anything. Everything's going to happen just like he said. No, he had to get in prayer. You know, just because God said it doesn't mean you are going to get it unless you fight for it. Can I get an amen from somebody? That's right. You've got to fight for what is yours. You got to take a stand. You got to get a hold of God and don't turn loose until you get what you are believing God for. Hallelujah. And Jesus, he was believing God for all the elect. And he said, I'm going to get every last one of them. Devil, you're going to give them up.
Hallelujah. He said, other sheep I have that are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And there will be one fold and one shepherd. And I will lose none of them. And I will raise him up at the last day. Together with my dead body, they shall live, saith the Lord. He said, I will raise them up. And he contended with the devil. The devil said, no, you will not. The devil said, look, remember, you know, they broke your word. They did what you said not to do. They fell from your glory. Every one of them. And Jesus said, well, yeah, they did. You know, that's right. But his mercy endureth forever. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I know they did. But his mercy endureth forever. And the mercy of God, the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men. And Jesus said, I am that grace. And I will get them from your grip. And I will bring them home. Hallelujah. And he stayed there with the devil. He wrestled. And the angel of God had to come and strengthen him. You know, and so forth like that. Because God made sure that he was wrestling as a man. Amen. Well, if you don't understand that, you're going to have to read deep in the scriptures. He wasn't praying this prayer as God. He was wrestling as a man. That's right. You know. And God had to come and strengthen him. But he stood right there with him. And he didn't want to be made sin because he was holy. So he was terrified of the moment that he would be separated from God. That's what he was afraid of. You know. He said, you know, and so, and you know, he, you know, and he went through all that battle. But he got the gold. He got the prize at the end. Can you say praise the name of Jesus? Well, the Lord, he showed us how to do it. David showed us how to do it. Praise God. You know, so you say, well, that was Jesus. Well, it wasn't just Jesus. David did it too. You know, David did some things in prayer that made God to stand up and blaspheme his nostrils and do all kinds of things. Praise God. Well, if you are here this morning, I want to also tell you something that Lord wanted me to tell you. You know, your prayers sometimes are not answered. One, because you don't pray specific prayers. He asked me to tell you that. Praise God. Praise God, people. You have to be specific in your prayers. You know, don't just say, you know, if you need a car, don't just say, Lord, you know, bless me. You know, tell him what you need. He already knows, but you tell him anyhow. Be specific. You know, and if you're asking God to do something for you, don't just beat around the bush. Be specific. Praise God. Hallelujah. Be specific. You know, if you want fish, say you want fish. If you want egg, say you want egg. If you want bread, say you want bread. And if you ask bread, it's not going to give you a stone. Hello? And if you ask for fish, it's not going to give you a scorpion. But if you ask for something else, it's not going to give you, you know, give you a snake and all that. You know, because even we who have children, we don't have to give good gifts to our, I mean, we who are parents, we don't have to give good gifts to our children. How much more shall your heavenly Father give good things to them that ask him? Can you say hallelujah? Hallelujah. But you've got to stay with God in prayer. Don't turn loose. Don't let the enemy distract you when you've got a hold of God. And when you are on a roll, don't quit. You know, stay there until you get a blessing. You know, that's the reason why people cannot get real blessings from God. Because we don't have what it takes most times to stick it out in the presence of God. People run off after a few minutes of prayer. You know, they run off, you know, they got to go watch their favorite television show, or this and that and so forth like that. You know, and God is not mocked. Amen. Amen, people. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If you know how to get in God with God in prayer, you know how to get a hold of God and not turn it loose. You know how to walk the wings of the morning, and you know how to walk the things, the keys of the kingdom of heaven, right here on earth. That's right. I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven right here on earth. You do some things here on earth, and you get heaven to agree with you. Amen. That's what Jesus said. If you know how to command those things, then you can get a lot of things done. But it is a kind of spiritual prayer that uses spiritual violence in order to get things done in the kingdom of heaven. It is not a wishy-washy, too many kind of prayer. That's not going to get it done. I want us to stand to our feet here this morning.
And I want you this morning to examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Examine yourself whether you can pray the kind of prayer that makes God to stand up and blast with fire out of his nostrils on your behalf. Can you pray that kind of prayer? Can you pray the kind of prayer that makes heaven to shake and the earth to tremble? Why, sure. It starts out by getting in your closet and, you know, getting a hold of his presence and lifting up his name. Hallelujah, somebody. Amen. Hallelujah, somebody. I want to tell you something else. Whatever it is that you want God to do, you begin to praise him with some title of God that relates to that. Hallelujah. You want God to deliver you out of some situation that you find yourself in. It could even be your own fault. I'm not talking about that. You know, wisdom we know will keep you from some problems. But regardless of how you got in there, you know, you begin to say, Lord, I know you are my deliverer. Oh, I know you are my rock and my defense. Hallelujah. You think he can be your defense? He's called the chief advocate too. Oh yeah, he'll fight your battle. You know, if you are in a legal tussle, you know, in business and so forth, he's your advocate. He will fight for you, said the Lord. That's right. He will do it too. Amen. You just got to know how to work that praise. You got to know, what is it you think that people do in prayer for so long? You know, it's not just praying all the time. It's mingling it with praise. It's mingling it with worship. You tell God some things, you come back and, you know, and you raise him up again. You come back and tell him how great he is. Hallelujah, somebody. You tell him how nobody can stay his hand. Especially when you want something done that somebody said is not going to be done. Because they are in charge, it looks like. I mean, they're, you know, this and that and so forth. But you tell God, you say, I know that you rule in the affairs of men. I know that you command the armies of heaven. And I know that no one can stay your hand. Neither can anyone say to you, what dwellest thou, Lord? You begin to tell God these great things. And I guarantee you, before you know it, he will stand up on your behalf. Praise God. Hallelujah. And he's got some angels, boy. He can send those angels for. Say, go down there. Make sure this happens. And if that doesn't happen just enough, he'll send somebody else to. Michael. Hallelujah. He might come down there and just, you know, get things done himself. Praise God. You know, God walks in you according to the magnitude of your praise for him. Can I get somebody that understands that?
Hallelujah.
God walks in you according to the magnitude of your praise for him. If you know how to exalt the Lord, if you know how to do these great things in prayer that moves the head of God, he might just say about you, now that's a woman after my heart. Now that's a man after my heart. You don't think that that's the reason that God said he was a man after his heart concerning David? Nah, because he knew how to walk that praise, boy, more than anybody else in that Bible. Hallelujah. Now lift up your hands this morning. Praise God. And I have already prayed a fervent, effectual prayer for every one of you before I came here today. Oh yeah. But right now, I am going to release. Hallelujah. I am going to pray some prayer right now for you. I'm going to get a hold of God, and I want you to believe God with me. You know, now remember, this is consecration weekend, and these weekends don't go, you know, by without God giving somebody some breakthrough.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
And it might be just your turn,
yes,
for a breakthrough today.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Never mind the time. Don't worry about it. God's going to do something for you. Special right now. Now, if you are in a legal tussle, remember, he is the advocate. He is your defense. Hallelujah. I want you to accept his defense today and let him work for you. If you are up in a battle against whatever, against time. Now, you are in a battle against time. That's right. God, he's the timeless God.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. He is the timeless God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, and if you are in any situation, no matter what it is this morning, I want you to say, Lord, I want you to say in your heart, you know, I want God to stand up on my behalf. I am going to get a hold of God. Praise God. And I'm going to ask you quickly. Let's believe God together. This is only going to be the beginning today, but you must continue believing God even when you leave from here. But I want to see every one of you that wants God to do something special for you. I want you to see you out here right now. And let's see if God will not start something for you in your life. You are in a battle for your life. You are in a race against time. You are in a legal tussle. You are in any kind of situation. Finances. You know, and so forth. You don't even know where you're going to go. You don't know what, you know, how you're going to go. Perhaps you're even praying for somebody else. Maybe you've got a family member that's in a critical situation. I tell you what, nothing can stand against this force of prayer. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask those of you that are here, if you would please, I want everybody. If you would please, I want everybody come closer. Just come a little closer. Every one of you that's in here. Come a little closer. And get closer to one another too. I don't want to see all this gap. Those of you that are out here, get closer. Let's believe the Lord together. Praise God. I want you to get a hold of somebody on your left hand and your right hand. And let's see what the Lord will do in this circle of prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Now, Lord, I want you to also know, people, when you pray, you've got to pray some specific prayers. Now, I want you to know that the person that is on your left and the person that is on your right is believing with you. Can I get amen on that?
Amen.
Are you going to believe with the person that you are holding?
Yes.
I got half the people saying yes. Are you going to believe with the person that you are holding?
Yes.
Well, I want you to know they are believing with you.
Yes.
So I want you to pray specific prayer. Right now, begin to pray. That thing that is a burden in your heart. The thing that will seemingly will not move. The thing that the enemy has put in your face and said, aha, aha. I want you to pray right now. Pray. Hallelujah. Senda roboshkeri ala mosende kenatoria. Rianda lava kondos keri madatoshika namasuria. Lord, I ask that you will move. Hallelujah. You are the great God. You are the eternal rock of ages. You are the advocate. You are the timeless God. You are the great healer. You are the chief shepherd. You are our rock, our salvation. Orenya moskelina goshira nakaya. Move upon your people now, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you for the keys of the kingdom of heaven, by which we go in and take the kingdom by force, the force of spiritual arms. That which they are believing you for, Lord, as they get a hold of you now, give them the grace not to turn loose. God will give you the grace to wrestle with him and to prevail. That's right. That's the kind of God he is. He'll give you that grace. You will wrestle with God in prayer. And you will prevail. You will come out on top. Strengthen every one of them, Lord. Help them to be able to prevail in prayer. In the name of Jesus. And I pray, Lord, that you will help me also to be able to prevail in prayer on behalf of everyone in this church. Just like Jesus went for that goal. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Let the Lord begin to put things into operation and turn things around for you. In the mighty name of Jesus. Remember, fervency in prayer. walking his praise. I'm walking in the light of his righteousness. Together, we'll make your prayers to be effectual. You must use the force of spiritual arms to get things done in the kingdom of heaven. You must not take no for an answer. Jesus told many parables about that.
Hallelujah.
Keep troubling God, he said. Hallelujah. Cry out to him day and night. He'll do it for you. Praise God. Now I come against those princes of the air, those spiritual wickedness in high places, the rulers of the darkness of this world that are holding back the answers that God has already dispatched on your behalf. Let the great Prince Michael rise up again. Hallelujah. And I command the eternal flame and the eternal sword to smite through the forces of darkness. In Jesus' name, make a way for your answers to come through. I can see God working in your favor now. Praise God. I can see God answering your prayer. Praise God. I want you to stay in prayer. Don't say it's the end of consecration. Stay in prayer the rest of today and see what God will do for you. Elijah said, if I be a man of God, let such and such happen. Now, if I spoke the word of God to you today, if I spoke the word of God to you today, then let it be that God will answer your prayer. If I spoke the word of God in here today, then let God answer that prayer. In Jesus' mighty name. And I get everybody to say amen.
Amen.
Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Give the Lord a hand clap in here, God. Hand clap. Shout the victory in here this morning. Come on, somebody. Somebody give the Lord a praise in the house. Come on, somebody shout the victory in here. Shout the shout of victory in here. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise God. Thank you. You may be seated. Praise God. We're going to go quickly and break bread now.